welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, please send it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Remember, cast your vote for the show once a month on Podcast Alley, podcastalley.greatdetectives.net. And you can become one of our friends over on Twitter at Radio Detectives. Well, before we get started with today's adventures of the Abbott story, I do want to encourage you, if you haven't already, to check out my novel, Tales of the Dim Night. We have a website with information on the novel, reviews, interviews with me on various websites, as well as the first chapter sample of the story. We have it in paperback and in pretty much any e-reader format you can imagine. So be sure to check out dimnight.com. Well, let's go ahead and we will take a listen to today's episode, The Canary Yellow Sack.
After all, it's difficult to be romantic with your husband with another woman in the room, especially if the woman's just been murdered.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Adventures of the Abbott, starring Claudia Morgan and Les Damon as Jean and Pat Abbott, those popular characters of detective fiction created by Francis Crane. NBC invites you to join Pat and Jean each week at this time for another exciting recorded adventure in romance and crime. Tonight's story, The Canary Yellow Sack. And here is Claudia Morgan as Jean Abbott to set the stage for tonight's puzzle in murder.
I'd gone to Pat's office to call for him and take him home. Pat's a very successful private detective in San Francisco, and you'd think you'd find him with secretaries, talking long distance, consulting perhaps with some brilliant criminologist. But when I came in...
Hello, darling.
Pat Abbott, it's hardly becoming to an outstanding detective to be found at his desk reading a nursery book.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, Pat?
Hansel and Gretel. I bought it for a birthday present. My nephew Donald, remember him?
Oh, well, that's different.
He's such a cute kid.
Yes, he's very cute, but that'll do, dear. Hmm? Put the book away, you're going to solve a mystery for me.
What's the problem?
It's about this newspaper clipping. I took it out of the bulletin's classified section. Go on, read it.
For sale, old chromo, picture of Zachary Taylor. Well, of all the silly...
Go on.
Promo picture of Zachary Taylor. Price, $12.30. Right, box 27. Well, what about it?
I sent them a check for $12.30.
You actually want a secondhand chromo of Zachary Taylor?
I most certainly do. For your information, my great-grandfather was related to Zachary Taylor.
Well, do tell. Imagine being married to a celebrity all this time and not knowing it. Did you get the chromo?
No, I got the check back.
Hmm?
With a note saying they were very sorry the chromo had been sold.
Oh, bad luck. So what?
Well, I thought that's all it was, too, but... Look, here's another clipping. Advertising the same thing. I saw it in an out-of-town paper just this morning. Read it, dear.
For sale, old chromo Zachary Taylor, second-hand. Price, $11.15.
Now, you see, Pat? This ad offering the same chromo at a cheaper price just appeared today. Now, why in the world did they turn me down last week and then offer the same chromo in another paper for less money?
I don't know, dear. Besides, I am not interested.
Pat, it just doesn't make sense. Are you a detective or aren't you? Well, what do you think?
I think a Smirnoff vodka at Leo's would be perfect. Yes, come in.
Mr. Abbott?
Yes?
My name is Stewart. Mrs. Tom Stewart. I need your help, Mr. Abbott.
Well, go ahead. What's wrong?
Well, it's confidential.
Well, it's all right. This is my wife. We often work together on a case.
Well, it's about my husband.
Mm-hmm.
He's disappeared.
Disappeared? When and where did you see him last?
It all started about 2 weeks ago when I clipped this advertisement from the bulletin. Here, read it.
For sale. Old chromo, picture of Henry Clay, second hand.
Oh, Pat, it,
It's the same...
Wait a minute. Price, $17.20. Box 89.
Well, if that isn't the most amazing coincidence...
Mrs. Stewart, what happened after you saw this ad?
Well, I'm very interested in American history.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd buy it. I sent a check to Box 89, and then I never heard from them. I wrote again, and finally, the day before yesterday, I sent my husband down to the newspaper office. I told him to get the address of these people and ask them what they'd done about my check.
Did he find them?
Well, I don't know. Tom went down to the newspaper office, and he never came back. I tried to find him. I called every place he might have gone. His office, his friends.
Uh-huh. Well, have you reported this to the Missing Persons Bureau?
Yes, but, oh, they're so casual about these things, and I wanted someone who'd take a personal interest in the case. Someone who wouldn't lose a minute. Someone
who... Yes, Mrs. Stewart, what does your husband look like?
Well, he's tall.
How tall?
Oh, 5'8".
Well, that's not very tall.
Well, maybe he's 5'9" or 5'10". I don't know exactly. He weighs about 150 pounds.
What color hair has he?
Brown. He had brown eyes, and, well, he was very thin.
Thin? 5'8", weighing 150?
Well, I call him thin. He looks sort of...
Pat! She's been shot. What'll I do?
You look after her, Jean. Those shots came from out in the hall.
Pat, what...
Stay with that woman.
Oh, here. Here, Mrs. Stewart. Let me help you. We'll get a doctor. Mrs. Stewart. Mrs. Stewart! Oh, Mrs. Stewart!
Well, they got away, Jean. How's Mrs. Stewart?
Pat, I think she's dead.
What? Here, let me see. You're right.
Oh, Pat, it's awful.
Give me that phone.
You see, I told you there was something weird about those ads.
Headquarters? Lieutenant Daniels, please.
Oh, what do you think they mean?
Could be a code.
A code? For what?
One second, darling. Daniels, this is Pat Abbott. Look, you better come over to my place. Fast. A woman has been shot. Yeah, she's dead. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Pat, what are the ads a code for?
I don't know. Let's have a look at Mrs. Stewart.
Well, here's her purse. What's in it?
Yeah, a coin bag. Handkerchief. Lipstick. There's a ticket. It's an airplane ticket. For the plane to Seattle. Tomorrow morning.
Pat, will you look at these newspaper clippings?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this one says, for sale. Old chromo, picture of Vice President Marshall, second hand, price $21.20.
Well, this one says, for sale. Old chromo, picture of Benedict Arnold, price $8.40. Pat, what do they mean?
Well, let's see. In the first place, nobody on Earth, except you, darling, would actually want a second-hand chromo of any of these fellows. They're advertising something absolutely useless. Something they probably haven't even got.
Oh, well, that's silly, dear. Well, then why advertise at all?
Well, these numbers, the prices, what could they mean? 8:40, 12:30, 11:15...
Pat, that could mean time, not money. Except for the fact that there's no such time as 17:20.
Wait a minute. Could be a military time, couldn't it?
Oh.
That's numbered from 1 to 24. 17:20 would be 20 minutes after 5 p.m.
Golly, that's right. What about the names?
Well, let's go a step further. If you're telling someone time, what else might you tell them?
Place.
That's right. Sure, you see? Taylor, Stanton, Marshall. Those could be the names of streets and avenues.
Well, suppose it's true. Where do we go from here?
Well, I know where you go.
Where?
Home.
Home? Now?
Jean, how many times do I have to tell you that detecting is a very dangerous business for you?
Well, if you think with that woman lying there murdered and a mysterious code in the newspaper that I'm going home...
I will not have you running around on these cases. Now, I said go home, Jean.
Well, of all the ridiculous...
Jean.
Yes, dear?
How long is it since anyone has spanked you?
I'm going. I marched very reluctantly out of Pat's office. After I'd been gone about 5 minutes, Lieutenant Daniels arrived. He looked over the scene and examined Mrs. Stewart. Then he questioned Pat.
Pat, I've known you long enough to be very sure you're not mixed up in this, but just the same, I'll have to ask a few questions.
All right, go ahead.
Now, you never saw this Mrs. Stewart until she came to your office today?
That's right.
Did she indicate why she picked you to help her?
Me personally? No. No, she was just impatient with the Missing Persons Bureau. Thought a private detective could move faster.
What did she expect, miracles? And you say that she told you about her husband disappearing?
Yes.
He disappeared after he went to inquire about a little ad in the newspaper.
That's right.
All right, come on, Pat. What's the gimmick?
I don't pull gimmicks with you, Daniels. I never have. I've told you everything I know.
That would be a novelty. You know, Pat Abbott, I have a lot of respect for you. You do a darn good job. The trouble is you don't always bring the police in on everything that you're doing. Now, this time, suppose we don't play any games.
Hmm? I'm not playing games. You run a check yet on Mrs. Stewart?
Yeah. One of the boys just called me from headquarters. No police record of her.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, you're stalling. You've noticed something that you're not telling me. What did she say about her husband?
Just gave me a description of him.
Height?
5'8".
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if she said 5'9 or 5'10.
Confound it, Pat. If you don't cut the clowning.
She said he was very thin. Weighed 150 pounds.
5'8", weighed 150, and was thin?
Yes.
Well, aren't you mother's little helper? What was his first name? What was his occupation?
She didn't say.
Now, that's interesting. A woman you never saw before comes in and says her husband is 5'8", 9, or 10, or maybe he's tall enough to be a basketball player. He's short and heavy, or maybe he's thin, and she didn't even tell you his name. Then somebody strolling by who had nothing else to do came along and shot her. Then you ran out in the hall instantly, but you didn't see them. And all of this is because there's a little ad in the paper selling old chromos of dead presidents that aren't worth a plug nickel. Now, this hasn't been a very pleasant day anyway. My wife burnt the toast this morning. I missed the bus, and... Maybe I just ought to go home and lie down until tomorrow, huh, Pat? Maybe tomorrow will be my good news day, hmm?
I'm sorry, Lieutenant. I've told you all I know. Excuse me.
Pat Abbott?
Yes?
I'm calling to give you a little advice.
Who is this?
We'll skip that. What I wanted to tell you was very simple. Just this. Mind your own business, Abbott. Don't tell that cop anything.
Look, if you think you...
Hold on, Abbott. Hey, someone here wants to talk to you.
Never mind. Get to the point.
You better listen, Abbott.
Pat. Pat, darling.
Jean. Where are you? What is this?
Oh, when I left your office, they were waiting for me in a car. They made me go with them, and I
see, Abbott. We figured you might go poking around where you weren't wanted, so we invited your wife for a ride. We're going to hold her, too, till this case sort of cools off.
Now listen, you
easy,
rotten...
Easy, Abbott. Easy. Just remember, you want your wife back, mind your own business. Keep your mouth shut.
Hello. Hello. Hello!
Who was that? Pat, I said, who was that? I haven't seen you this upset since I took 56 bucks off you in that poker game last year. Now, who called?
Little Bo Peep. Wants police help. She lost her sheep and can't find them.
How would you like to get slapped with a charge of withholding information from the police?
How would you like to get sued for false arrest and maybe get busted and end up pounding a late night beat on the Oakland Bridge?
Good afternoon, Mr. Rabbit.
Good afternoon, Lieutenant Daniels. I guess maybe I'm the Rocco Gibraltar type. Except when it comes to Jean. Her kidnapping threw me for a 30-yard loss. Lieutenant Daniels tried a few more times to worm something out of me, but couldn't get a word. The minute the police had cleared out of my office, I went running to the office of the Bulletin, to the desk where they take classified ads.
Yes, what can I do for you?
I don't want to place an ad. I'd just like to ask you a question.
What is it?
It's about an ad that was in your paper. You see this? Offering a chromo of Zachary Taylor.
Well?
Who placed that ad?
We don't give out that information.
This is very important. I've got to know.
I said we don't give out that information.
Now, it's...
If that's all you wanted, I'm sorry. I'm very busy, so if you please run along.
Now, look. I don't want to get into an argument. I'm just making a simple request, so will
you
please...
The answer is no. N-O.
But it wouldn't...
Aren't you going to leave, or do I send for the manager?
You don't have to send for anybody. I don't want to make trouble.
What's the trouble, Dorrance?
Oh, Mr. Warren, this fellow wants some information. He wants to know who placed this ad.
It's this ad here, Mr. Warren. I'd appreciate it very much.
Well, I see it. Oh. I think this ad was mailed in. To find out who sent it, we'd have to go back through our files. It would take some time.
I'll wait.
Besides, this ad is over a week old. It'd mean a lot of checking back. I'm afraid we can't oblige you.
Now, it isn't much of a favor.
It's against our policy, too.
It means a great, great deal to me.
It's against our policy.
All right, skip it.
I'm sorry we can't be of more assistance.
All right, Mr. Warren, all right. I said skip it. Hello?
Finally got back to your office, huh, Abbott?
Now listen, you let my
wife... Now wait! You better be polite to me, Abbott. Gene's right here in the room with me and the boys. Now you don't want us to get angry, do you, Abbott? Oh, Gene, say hello to your husband.
Pat?
Yes, Gene, are you all right, dear? Are you all right?
You heard her, Abbott. She's fine so far. Now look... Called about your visit to the bulletin office, Abbott.
What?
Aren't we smart, though? We know everything you do, don't we? You try to find out who put that ad in for the Okromo, huh?
What about it?
First you spoke to a man named Dorrance. Then you spoke to another jerk named Warren. They turned you down.
Well?
I told you to keep your nose out of this, Abbott. You're disappointing me. Now, I ain't gonna warn you again. This here wife of yours won't look so pretty if they have to drag her out of the river.
I ran back to the office of the bulletin. This time I wasn't going to be stopped. At the classified ad desk, there was a crowd. Excuse me, what's happened?
It's the man who works at the desk, Mr. Dorrance. Oh, it's terrible.
Well, what is?
Well, he was just standing there, and then all of a sudden he just keeled over and died.
He did?
Uh-huh. A heart attack, they say.
Would you step aside? I'd like to go over there. Thank you.
Why, hello.
Hello, Mr. Warren.
Isn't it shocking? After all these years, poor Dorrance has a heart attack, and he's gone.
Yes. It's almost unbelievable. I left the office of the Bulletin and raced across town to the office of the Globe Dispatch. I had an idea. I wasn't sure it would work, but Jean's life was at stake and any chance at all was worth taking. I went to the classified ad department of the Globe Dispatch and... Now here's what I want in the ad, please. For sale, second-hand chromo of Aaron Burr. Price, $7.20. I didn't know, of course, if my first idea about the ads being a code was right. But there wasn't anything else I could do. Figuring the name in the ad was the street where a rendezvous took place, and the price was the time of the meeting, I advertised Aaron Burr, $7.20. And at 7:20 the next night, I went to Burr Street. It was in a desolate section of town by the river. The street was deserted, and the lamppost was being repaired, so it was pitch black. I hid in a doorway and waited. At 7:20 sharp, a truck pulled up at the corner. The driver remained at the wheel. A guy who'd been riding in the back got out and strolled around, occasionally looking up the street. After about 10 minutes, the little man called out to the driver.
I don't know where they are, Jackie. Looks like they won't show up.
Excuse me, bud. Got a match?
Huh? Oh, yeah, sure. That's, wait a minute. I got my pump. Yeah, here we are.
Thanks.
Here's something for you.
I knocked the little man out cold. Then I jumped onto the back of the truck. And imitating that hoarse voice as best I could.
Better go on, Jackie. I'll ride in the back again. They ain't coming.
The truck roared down Burr Street, switched off to the main highway, and tore along doing 70. In the back, I had a chance to look around. The truck was filled with barrels of capsules. Little plastic capsules, the kind used to make pills. I kept examining the boxes. Then I found a bag. It contained a white powder with a bitter taste. It wasn't dope, but I thought I knew what it was. In a few minutes, the truck turned and pulled up in front of a huge abandoned warehouse. I hopped off, ran around to the back of the warehouse. I pulled open the door, slowly. I saw a rickety stairway. I tiptoed up the stairs. I tried some doors. Empty rooms, that's all. Then I saw another door at the far end of the hallway. Jean?
Pat. Oh, darling, darling.
Yes, you all right?
Yes, yes, I'm all right. They didn't hurt me. Pat, how'd you get here? Where are we? They blindfolded me until I got here.
Shh. Don't talk now. I've got to get you out of here. I know the way back. I can come here with Daniels later. Now wait. I'll see if anyone is outside.
Do you see anyone?
Yes. The driver of a truck I used to get here. You better shut this door. Is there another way out of this room?
No. No, not even a window.
It's a nice spot. Well, the driver doesn't know who I am. Maybe we can bluff our way out. Does he know you?
I don't know. I don't know who brought me here.
No, we just have to take a chance.
Pat, listen. Listen, they're right outside.
Yes, now keep quiet. If we make a sound, they'll let loose right through the door with Tommy guns. I saw the driver carrying one. Now, shh.
I don't know who the guy was, boss. Just asked me for a match. Then he slugged me.
That's the fella I knocked out to get in here. It's too bad I didn't sock him hard enough. I didn't have a chance to tie him up either. He must have come to and raced over here. Now, we've got to get out, Jean. We've got to take a big chance.
Anything. Anything. Just let's get out of here.
We'll have to go out the front door. And try talking fast if we meet anybody. Are you ready, darling?
Ready, Pat.
And so far, so good. Now, down the stairs. All right, now if we can make that big door at the bottom of the staircase, we'll be all right. It's very dark outside. It's only a short run to the highway.
We're not doing badly at all. I wonder where they went.
Oh, don't leave us so soon, Mr. Abbott.
Warren.
Pat.
I didn't expect you to pay us a visit, but now that you've come, why don't you stick around a while?
Pat, you know him.
Yes, Jean, I do. Mr. Warren is the classified advertising manager of the Bulletin. We've met a few times. Last time we met, he'd just murdered one of his employees in the newspaper office, Mr. Dorrance.
Hey, this is the guy, boss. The one who socked me.
Put your hands up, Abbott. You too, Mrs. Abbott. Harry, see if he has a gun.
Okay.
Mr. Dorrance was supposed to have died of a heart attack. But I wouldn't be surprised if the autopsy shows he was poisoned. He could wise to your racket, eh, Warren? Using the ads for tip-offs?
You talk too much, Abbott. People who talk a lot get on my nerves.
He ain't got no gun, boss.
Tip-offs for what, Pat?
Pickups, darling. By their truck. From half a dozen guys working for them who sold them empty pill capsules on the QT. And other guys selling them barbituric acid.
You're really quite bright, Abbott.
I tasted some of that white powder in the truck, Warren. They gave me sleeping pills in the Marines when I was hurt. I remembered it.
Sleeping pills, Pat?
Yes, dear. one of the least known and biggest rackets in America today. Not narcotics, so the federal men don't have anything to do with it. Has to be enforced locally. Makes it very tough for the law and easy for the boys. Runs into millions of dollars. Sold without a prescription by bellhops and fleabag hotels. And all-night diners by salesmen planted like bookies in business offices.
Well, I thought we'd probably have to kill your wife, Abbott. But you want to make a regular party out of it, don't you? You want to get knocked off, too. Well, we can oblige you.
You shot Mrs. Stewart, too, Warren. You were one of your pals here.
Yes, Harriet got fancy ideas. She didn't like the way we were treating her.
Yes, so she decided to double-cross you. She came to me with a lead about the ads and the story about her husband, who probably doesn't exist. She figured I'd nail you while she took a plane to Seattle.
We caught up with her, though.
Yes, in my office. Then you waited downstairs for Jean, hoping that would probably keep me off your neck.
Go on, Harry. Take them in the back. Get rid of them.
Okay.
No. Wait. This Abbott here is a smart aleck. His wife wasn't very friendly either. Never mind taking them in the back, Harry. I'd get a kick out of seeing him get a face full of bullets myself. Go on. Give it to him now. Right here.
Pat.
Now, steady, darling. Look, Warren. You can't get away with four killings. You pulled two already that you'll be picked up for just as sure as...
Yatata, talk again. Go on, give it to those two, Harry. We're wasting time.
Right. Put up your hands, Warren.
Lieutenant Daniels.
You heard him, Harry. Drop that gun.
Go on, drop it. I have 20 men outside, so be smart and don't start any fireworks. They'd just love to celebrate the 4th a little early.
Where the devil did you...
Where did I come from? Out of the nowhere into the here.
Wasn't sure the trick would work, Daniels.
Well, it did. Good idea, Pat.
What trick? Pat, if you don't explain...
Well, you remember the nursery book I was reading, Jean? Hansel and Gretel?
Yes, dear.
How did they show people the way to the witch's house where they were being held prisoner?
Well, why, they dropped breadcrumbs, I think, all along the trail as they went into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see.
That's right. I did it with a little capsule while I was riding in that truck. I cut a hole in one of those sacks. I knew I had to lead someone to wherever the truck was going, and then I thought of Hansel and Gretel.
There's a trail of capsules running all the way out here for blocks. One of our prowl cars started following it. Figured some truck was losing all this stuff and didn't know it. Then the officers began looking around this warehouse.
Do people get so desperately addicted to sleeping pills?
Yes, very often. Then they develop barbiturate poisoning and keel over suddenly on the street. City hospital often gets cases like that. And I know an asylum that has victims of barbiturates who went into complete nervous collapse. You see, Jean, the health department of each city is responsible for stopping its illegal use. But most of them are handicapped. Not enough men, not enough funds. So the wise guys move in and make cash. Sell them in all-night movies, sell them outside of flop houses. Yes, even pick up victims supposedly cured as they come out of the hospitals.
Well, I'll never have that trouble.
How do you know, Mrs. Abbott?
No woman would ever have trouble falling asleep after spending an evening with Pa.
The National Broadcasting Company has presented The Adventures of the Abbots, starring Claudia Morgan and Les Damon as those popular personalities of detective fiction, Pat and Jean Abbott, created by Francis Crane. The cast included Everett Sloan, Jean Darling, Mandel Kramer, and Lon Clark. The Adventures of the Abbots was written by Howard Merrill. Original music composed and directed by Dewey Bergman. Produced by Ted Lloyd and Bernard L. Schubert. Directed and recorded by Harry Frazee. Next week, same time, same station, another exciting adventure in crime with Pat and Jean in The Adventures of the Abbots.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Welcome back. Well, once again, another one of those episodes that really could have been from today with its context. And it's kind of this very interesting contrast in the character of Pat Abbott. Because I really wasn't liking him at that moment when he was shooshing Gene out of the office with a "when was the last time you got spanked" comment. But then you see his dedication and devotion in this tireless effort to find her. And we once again get another appearance by Mandel Kramer, who we'll hear much, much later as yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And another great detective actor was on this episode as well. It was Lon Clark. Lon Clark is best known for his role as Nick Carter, Master Detective. A role he held for 12 years, from 1943 to 1955. And we're going to have a lot of fun when we get to that show, because Nick Carter is just one of those excellent classics. But he was towards the end of his run here in this performance. By the way, if you happen to have any episodes of Nick Carter lying around from after 1949... let me know. I've got as complete a collection as I can find, with 126 episodes, but none of them after 1949. I did get a comment from a listener that was prompted by my recent blog post on Eddie Rochester Anderson. Nick writes in, "The Jack Benny program, which I was lucky to see in reruns as a kid in rural Virginia in the mid-70s, had a profound effect on me, both in terms of humor and in some ways race relations. I love Jack, but I wanted to be Rochester or Andy Griffith or Hawkeye Pierce. I recall regaling my parents and the little friends with my impersonations of both Jack and Rochester. Oh, boss, come now. Come now," was a frequent retort to my dad. "In the past year, I've listened to the entire run of Jack Benny radio shows almost obsessively online. And amazingly, a local station is currently running two Jack Benny TV shows every Sunday night." Wow, you've got a very nice local TV station. "What I've discovered is quite often they just reworked a radio show, some from a decade or more earlier, and reshot it for TV, usually quite well, but it's funny to watch programs now with a firm grasp of their origins in radio. I've also been branching out to other old-time radio in the process, and I must thank you for the great detective shows and commentary. So few old-time radio podcasts give any context for the program, and it is much appreciated." Well, thank you. And he says, "One show I'd like to recommend, which, like most others I discovered at archive.org, is Rocky Jordan. While not a straight detective series, it has all the elements of one, and the exotic locale of Cairo adds a certain something to the proceedings. Good stories, wonderful acting, and great atmosphere make for a usually excellent listen. Thanks again, Nick." Well, thank you so much, Nick. I really appreciate the comments. And definitely, I love Rocky Jordan. I think it is a I think it is a fantastic show, and it's definitely one we look forward to doing. It has not only the detective elements, but a lot of the writers. One person emailed in and noticed when we were doing Jeff Regan that one of those Jeff Regan episodes had actually been done by Rocky Jordan, had that same writer in E. Jack Newman. Well, I appreciate so much all the comments and emails. We'll be back tomorrow with Nero Wolfe. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. You can always give us a call, 208-991-4783. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.